I think we perhaps just have the one party here today. Is that right?
Well, I don't see Mr. Platt, the planning attorney.
I don't either. You may use your 10 minutes.
So I just get started.
Yes, you may.
For the record, Eric Roy for the City of Linden. It looks like this is sidewalk day at the Court of Appeals.
For one thing.
We take all cases.
Anyway, I think the parties are in agreement in this particular case that the city does have a duty to maintain its sidewalks in a reasonably safe condition, and that the plaintiff has the right to assume that the sidewalks are safe until they have knowledge to the contrary. And that's essentially what this case comes down to. The plaintiff in this case knew that the sidewalks in this neighborhood were potentially dangerous.
Is a general knowledge sufficient?
And I assume the court is asking about whether we need to show that the plaintiff knew about this specific lift as opposed to other lifts in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances of this case, I don't think we need to show knowledge of that specific lift. And the reason why is because the condition was so prevalent and consistent throughout the neighborhood and didn't differ, and that this particular plaintiff knew that the sidewalk panel lifts were caused by the street trees next to the sidewalks. So it wasn't a case where you have like varying conditions throughout a neighborhood. It's a case where you've got 28 out of the 50 sidewalk panels lifted for a specific reason, because the trees were too big for the parking area. And a plaintiff who knows about that, she's saying that there are parts of the neighborhood where she walks on the street because the sidewalks are so bad. She uses words like the sidewalks were horrible. She says things in her deposition under oath about how when she's walking through the neighborhood, she usually pays attention to the sidewalks, but didn't on this time.
There was evidence in the record that she was distracted at the time that she fell, right?
That's correct.
Does that have any impact on the question that is before us?
I don't think so, given her knowledge of the neighborhood in general and her typical practice of paying attention to the sidewalks.
I'm a little troubled about the summary judgment from the standpoint that your argument's really a comparative negligence standpoint. Now, the city has admitted, I think, that the sidewalk's defective. It's been there for quite some time. You haven't fixed it. That's, you know, kind of a prima facie case of negligence by the city. Now you're asserting she was also negligent because she didn't notice it. That's comparative. Why doesn't the jury get to that?
To clarify, Your Honor, we are admitting that there is an issue of fact about whether this particular lift, it's about an inch and a half, whether that's a dangerous condition. So we're admitting that that's for the jury to decide that. We're admitting that based on the condition of the neighborhood, unlike the last guy, we admit that there's an issue of fact on whether the city knew or should have known about these conditions.
You had actual knowledge, didn't you?
Actual notice of the lift. For purposes of summary judgment, we agree there's an issue of fact on notice.
Okay, back to that question.
Yes, technically this is a contributory negligence question.
Comparative, not contributory in the sense of the old law in the bar.
Sure. I mean, it can be termed that way, but essentially what the trial court did is find that as a matter of law, reasonable minds could not differ.
About what?
Under these facts, that this was an open and obvious condition that she knew about as a matter of law. That's basically what the trial court determined.
So what is the case that says that the city doesn't have, you're saying the city doesn't have a duty, or the city didn't, you admit the city has a duty, and I guess you admit the city breached its duty. So is your argument that the city's breach of duty didn't cause the accident?
Your Honor, to clarify, a city does not have a duty to warn or repair when the danger is open and obvious
Surely you don't mean that. Surely you don't mean that the city can have sidewalks that go like this, you know, half a foot of lift, but as long as, you know, people know about it, it's okay.
I need to be more specific to what I'm saying. That under the circumstances of this case, there's no liability for the condition that the plaintiff had specific knowledge about.
Well, okay, let's go through this like this, okay? The
okay.
reason you get summary judgment is so that you don't have to have a trial.
Right.
You might have lost summary judgment, okay? The court might have ruled the other way. Then you'd had to go to trial. You would have had then some instructions, and you would have had a verdict for it.
That's
so
right.
Let's picture how that would go. There would be a duty instruction that says a city has a duty to maintain its sidewalks in a condition fit for ordinary travel. Okay, that instruction would have been given. Okay, and then the plaintiff would have presented evidence of the breach of the duty. 1.5 inches, okay, not fit for ordinary travel. So far we've got the jury's going to find a negligence, breach of duty. Okay, then you've got causation. Okay, did the breach of duty cause the plaintiff to fall down and hurt herself? The jury could say yes. Did this result in damage to the plaintiff? Yes. So at trial, how could the jury not be allowed to reach all of those conclusions? What is the thing that would stop them from doing that?
One of the rules is that unless a plaintiff has knowledge to the contrary, they have the right to assume that a city maintains sidewalks in a condition that's
okay,
reasonably
so
safe for ordinary
travel.
You're telling
me about an instruction that the jury would have been given, and the instruction would have said what, and it would have been based on what case?
Basically, that unless a plaintiff has knowledge to the contrary, they have the right to proceed under the assumption that the sidewalks are maintained in a reasonably safe condition.
Okay, and does this go to the plaintiff's negligence or to the city's negligence?
It goes to both, actually.
But you're relying on the restatement rule, aren't you?
And then also, Your Honor, the cases. I mean, there's 100 years of sidewalk cases. And
Blasek seems to be
yes.
the case that
yes.
summarizes the law with respect to shifting sidewalks. So to speak.
That's right. And so does the Lewis case. The Lewis case states the duty. So does the James v. Burchett case. And the Blasek case.
So how does your theory fit in?
The theory fits in because the rule is always stated with the qualifier that unless the plaintiff has knowledge to the contrary.
So that's where you hang your hat with respect to the grant of summary judgment?
That's where I hang my hat, Your Honor.
Okay. And that assumes that there's a breach of your duty and that this is a dangerous condition.
That assumes that there's an issue of fact on those questions. And to look at the cases relating to sidewalks, there isn't a single one of them where the case is established that the plaintiff had specific knowledge of the condition.
Well, the plaintiff had general knowledge. That's what you talked about. Now, you seem
yeah.
to be in your brief, you think that the trial court made a finding of fact that we should defer to. You're surely not arguing that.
Well, Your Honor, I have reread the brief and the authority on that, and I think the standard for the court is, in fact, de novo.
Okay, thank you.
But what you seem to be saying is if anyone walking on the sidewalk has walked there before and it was there to be seen, the city can't be liable.
Your Honor, what I'm saying is that under the facts of this case is similar to the Bailey case, except for the Bailey case involved a private sidewalk. Okay, Bailey is the one where the woman was walking on the sidewalk behind the Safeway store, and next to the sidewalk there was an open trench. And she'd walked on that sidewalk several times before, and she knew about the trench, but on this particular occasion, you know, her cane went into the trench and she fell down. I'm saying that the facts in a directed, I believe it was a directed verdict for the defendant in that case. And
for maintaining the trench, not that the sidewalk was defective.
But the principle applies.
Well, but I'm wondering if there isn't a different principle for roadways and sidewalks where there's a specific explicit duty to maintain them in a condition that is appropriate for the walking public, as opposed to merely other parts of your property which aren't.
Well,
that's why I was going with the restatement. I'm just
sure.
not sure that exception has any application.
Sure, and the restatement does have a provision about duty to warn and repair relating to conditions that a plaintiff should not be able to discover or know about.
Right.
And that is, in fact, what we're hanging our hat on. This is a somewhat unusual sidewalk case in that when you get right down to it, well, I'm out of time. But when you get right down to it, the court's decision was based on it being an open and obvious condition that she knew about. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. All right. Our next case.